Today, today I prepared two topics. First one is the SDC implementation, and the second one is the CDS introduction. I see Borislav is here. Are you going to give the introduction today? As we talked about it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I am ready.
Okay. So I'm stop sharing.
Okay, you would like me to start?
Yes. Please go ahead.
Okay, great. So I'll share my screen. Okay. Okay, do you see my screen?
Yes.
Okay, great. So you see here an SDC, which is in my lab. It's a development version of SDC, so don't pay attention to some errors that might pop. So in this environment, I have an implementation of a network slice, which I can show you, and I also have some test services, which I prepared to show you some properties, how they are defined in SDC in a Dublin release. So probably let's start with the properties. So I created two test services, the ztest1 and ztest2. Okay, ztest1, it actually doesn't have anything from composition point of view. It has some properties that I created, which are property 2, property 1, and test property. Okay, this is a simple service, and also the ztest2 is also simple. It's composed of ztest1. Okay, and it also has some properties. Okay, similar property, these are its properties. Okay, so I can check out, it's like a source control, so I can check out this service and I can add a property. Okay, I need to stand on self, okay, and add the property. Let's say test two. Prop 3, and I need to select the type. It can be any of the simple types, and it can be other types which are loaded into SDC upon SDC initialization. Okay, and they are defined in Tosca. So it can also be a list or a map. Let's choose the list and the type of the list. List links will be, let's say, usually it's string. Okay. So I created a new property, and it can have different values. Okay. Okay, and now if I want this property to be used as an input parameter for some operation, I need to declare it as input. Okay, I already did this for other properties, and if we see the inputs, you see the different properties. I'll shortly explain why we have more properties here than in the original declaration of properties. We can also define policies. I'll also explain what. So we define the property. Okay. Now, if you are looking at the properties of this service, it also includes the properties of the children. Okay. So we can see that it's called ztest1 proxy 0 because here in composition, I didn't change the default name. And it's called here ztest1 proxy 0. In the background, there is a service proxy mechanism, which I don't really want to get into. So we can see that in this service, we see the properties of the children services. Okay. Now, if we want to talk about inputs, we can declare the property of children. In this case, I already declared them as input. Okay, two of them, and one of them I declared as a policy. Okay, so in the input we can see these properties, which are from instance ztest1 proxy. Okay, and we can see what are the parameters. Okay, one of the child service properties I declared as policies. Not very familiar with the internals of how policy works, but the value of this parameter will be filled from some policy.
What is that? Sorry, can I service is as a nested service.
So again, we have ztest1 and ztest2 services, okay? So ztest1 has only few properties, and ztest2 has a nested service, okay? Here in composition, it has ztest1, which is represented by ztest1 proxy. I can change the name to something else. It will be easier to see, but it won't change currently the name of the properties. I think.
Borislav, a policy is usually a kind of a rule. How would you create a structure here for encoding those kind of various different types of rules for different types of systems? What are your thinking there?
Yeah, I actually don't know. I can try to find someone to ask, but I'm not really familiar with policy. I just know that you can mark some parameters as a policy, and it will get the value from a policy. How you create this policy, I'm not really familiar.
Oh, so what you're saying is this is an index to a map for a policy, which would be like a rule. Is that what you're saying?
Actually, no, because I don't really know, but I can check this. And I assume it is. I assume there is a policy for getting this parameter. Not sure how to declare, how to create this policy.
Well, I mean, it's not just the creation, it's also how it gets distributed, enforced, conflict detection, all that kind of jazz, you know, framework, a policy framework. But maybe that's something we can schedule later.
Right.
Keep going. I don't want to distract you.
Okay. So again, we have some parameters in self, which are part of the ztest2, and some parameters which are in ztest1, and the inputs, as we see, we can define for each. So this way, from the parent, this is a feature that was contributed in a Dublin release, is that we can create a parameter on the parent, okay, like this one, and declare it as input. And we do not need to have it in the nested service in order to be able to define it and to use it. Okay. Now, I used the same concept in a definition of network slicing. So I have the EMBB network slice, which has inside EMBB network slice subnet, okay, which has some parameters. Bear with me, it's a little bit slow to access the lab. Oh, sorry. The EMBB network slice, it has several properties which I took from 3GPP, okay, like coverage area, tracking areas. It's a list in in 3GPP TS285411, okay, slice profile ID, SSNA list, latency, resource sharing level, maximum number of user, equipments, and others, okay, and I declared all of them as inputs. They're getting the value from the one who is either instantiating or in case of a shared instance of a network slice, then it can be parameters to the share operation, and the share operation can have an assigned workflow which will take these parameters and use them, okay? Now, if we are looking at composition, we have EMBB network slice subnet. And if you are looking at the EMBB network slice subnet, then it's composed of the three network slice subnets. As we already spoke, I think, multiple times, of run, transport, and core. And in this case, 5G run is a shared service, and the other two are dedicated. Okay, and when we are talking about sharing, we can see the dependencies and the rules, or the how it's called in our model, the criteria, selection criteria. Okay, so one of the criteria is that latency is, if you are looking at this 5G run NSS, then latency of 5G run NSS needs to be lower than EMBB NSS latency, where EMBB is the service that we are talking about, right? And similarly, max number of UEs should be larger than EMBB NSS number of UEs. Okay, so that this instance of 5G run NSS could serve this EMBB network slice subnet. Okay, and resource sharing level should be equal to an EMBB NSS resource sharing level, and we can add others. Okay, in case of a dedicated service, we do not have the rules. We need to first mark a service as dependents, and then we can use those. Okay. So if we would like to look at the 5G run, where is my 5G run? 5G run NSS. We can see the composition, which is similar to what Thin described in his slide at the pre-ONS meeting, right, Tim? I think it's accurate to your representation. I saw Tim. Yeah, Tim is on the line. Tim? Okay, never mind. So this is a kind of a modeling representation in ONAP of the 5G run. We have a DU service, we have a CUCP service, we have the links between them, we have the CUUP, and this service can hold a list of DUs. It doesn't have to be a one-to-one relationship to a specific DU. So it can be N DUs and N CUUPs and let's say one CUCP. They have links between them and external connection points. Okay. And we can also have properties. And again, the same properties which are defined in 3GPP, and it can be also the properties from the GSMA GST, okay? So whatever properties are defined in the future can be added to the service and modeled this way. We do not need to change the SDC code to support additional properties or a different structure of services. And when we are looking at operations, we can see that on the 5G run, I define the share operation. They can add parameters as input parameters to the shared operation. Well, that's basically, I can show you the other services, but I think that the concept is supposed to be clear. Any questions?
Sorry, I have a question for the properties. That it seems you can define it in this GUI by yourself. So question is, one person can define the property name different than other people's. So how the consumer in the runtime going to make use of those properties?
Okay, once you define these properties, then they are in effect declared in the Tosca CSR. Right, and when you distribute the CSR to the orchestrator, then the orchestrator knows to accept those properties for the operations as input parameters. Okay, so the one who is defining those properties need to be aligned with the one who is calling for the service. Okay. There needs to be a match.
Hi, Bursa. I think the model here may continue. I think the latency or something attribute more like the customer level attributes. If we design this in the Tosca CSR, and directly to the SO, can SO directly read this attribute and know how it can do for the next step to build the slicing service?
Yes, I think it could be a nice feature for, let's say, external APIs to also get a distribution of the CSR and generate like open APIs or something, which will help for each service to define which are the operations and what are the different parameters or attributes of the operations.
So, Borisov, what are the impact in the internal descriptor? Are you doing this type of activity, so adding properties by the UI, you are saying that you are adding properties mm-hmm. in the service descriptor in the internal model of ONAP?
I am adding properties to the service, not to the internal ONAP Tosca representation. If I understood your question correctly, I can look at the Tosca.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think that was in your slides. I saw a slide about.
I can download the template. Okay. Yeah. I can save it somewhere temporarily. Just a moment. I'm saving it and opening it.
But, sorry, just to understand, this template is the service.
The Tosca template, right?
Yeah, okay.
And now let's look for some of the properties. Okay, let's see how I code them. Let's say the resource sharing level. Okay. And let's try to find resource sharing level. Okay, so I have it in the DU as a service proxy, and I probably have it in more.
So you added the properties. You have added these properties that
yes.
were not here.
Yes, but this one is actually for the DU as a service. I need to find the one for the service itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see, I took the same properties from. Okay, I guess it's here. Yeah, this is the definition. I took the same properties from 3GPP, so in the different services which compose the different slice subnets, I defined similar properties. You see here in the topology template, I have an input of resource sharing level, okay, and I have them also for the for the nested services. Okay. Any other questions?
You as a service, as a new property, and has it been added to other?
Here in the view as a service, if I'm going to this service. Oh, here it is. Okay, I have just a resource, a dummy resource for EDU. Mm-hmm. But in the service, I have the properties. And the properties can be defined on the resource level and used in the service. Mm-hmm. It's not something that, every service provider can model this differently. Okay.
So today, this, for instance, I don't know, coverage area TAs or resource sharing, I don't know. These properties are defined just for the service called DU as a service and not for the resource DU. And so.
No,
I don't want to. Just understand, Boris, enough.
Yes.
And so in the Tosca descriptor, it has been added. These properties as part of the node type definition of a DU as a service.
Right, yes. Here, I'm opening the DU as a service. Template and the topology template. I can
okay, and you can. You have already also. You can do also this for the resource. So if you want to add a new property to a resource, this will imply an automatic update of Tosca descriptor of a resource.
Yes, I can go here to a resource. The DU. Where do I have my DU? Here it is. Okay. I can check out this resource, create a new revision for it. Okay, it will be 1.1, and I can add properties. But usually this will be Oh, I can do just update services. It will take the latest each reference. Ah, okay, I can't update it directly. I need to check it out, and I need to manually update the composition because this service is already used. So I will use version 1.1. Or no, actually, I'm supposed after certify, I am supposed to have version. Let me check something. I'm not sure. The deal. Here, I have DU version 2. Okay, so in DU as a service, this is the latest version. In composition, I can update the DU to version 2. Okay, and then it will use the DU with the new property. Okay, now when I'm looking at the properties of service DU as a service, if I'm looking at self level, I have resource sharing level on a DU as a service on the service level. And if I'm looking at the DU level, I also have this, maybe it's a bug, okay? But I'm supposed to have this property also on the level of the DU.
Okay.
Does this attribute from CJTP, who will give the ticket responsibility to give the value of it? Does it can be given in the design time, or the truly a value should be given in the runtime?
Sorry, I'm not sure I understand.
When we start the service, we will give the properties like the latency or usability level. I want to know that we write the we give the value to this properties in the model design, in the CSR package in the design time, or we just leave the position of this properties and then for going to the runtime to give the detailed value, because I think the package will if it is going to the runtime, it may first go into the external API and then go to the runtime as or other component. So I want to know which will be the value input, who will do this thing.
Yeah, so from my understanding, how SDC is used is that there is a designer. It's a person who is designing the services and onboards the resources, and he defines what is the name of the property. And then the resulting CSR is distributed to the other components, like SO, and I'm not sure, but probably also external APIs. And that CSR can be used as the definition of the supported API for this service, okay? And then the one who is calling this API, it needs somehow to see the what is the API. But those things need to be agreed. Like if I'm implementing a network slice subnet, then I'm putting all the parameters which are defined in 3GPP or which are defined in GST, okay, or both. And then the one who is calling to create this network slice subnet or share it or modify it somehow, it knows exactly what are the different parameters.
So this property is more like something inputs properties.
Yes, I guess. Well, the properties are defined as a input. Because we can have properties which are not defined as input. They can either have some constant value or to get them from some policy at some stage. but some of the properties are defined as inputs.
Do you think this these attributes are the conception of CSS? Because the,
what conceptual?
My current understanding for these attributes are more like the CSS conception in Ken Foran, but I think that the SO currently can only read or handle the RFS conception attributes. So I just don't know if we have a design CSS with these attributes, how can the runtime?
Okay, so we have a service. Let's say that EMBB Network Slice is the customer facing service because we want to provide this as a network slice as a service. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's say this is the customer facing service and it has several properties. Okay.
Yeah.
It has several properties. So these properties are customer facing. And now when it instantiates or uses its internal or nested service, okay, then it needs to map from these properties to the resource-facing service properties. This is what you mean?
Yeah.
Okay, so currently in this release, the way to do it is you need to provide also internal, but we have a plan to provide in a Frankfurt release the relation. So you can say that the converged area, tracking areas in the customer facing service will be mapped to some properties in the resource facing service, and then you input it only once. This is supposed to be available somewhere in January.
So, does the current status, I'm just thinking that when we build the model, if we just put the attributes simply at the service profile position, or I mean the single places to put them, I don't know if this pauper just directly add them in the model, because if I so want to directly read this package, he may don't know how to use the attributes. So I'm just from the modeling perspective to see how can we build this a more successful package for all the components to use it.
Right, I think I agree with you on that.
Chuy, sorry, I don't understand the point.
I mean that in our service model, we should hold the 3GPP attributes like what Borislav just listed. But if we directly write the attributes into the model and into the CSR package, then the CSR package goes to the SO. When it reads this attributes, it cannot understand how to do next, because these attributes are more customer-facing service, but the SO can currently only handle the RFS attributes. So I'm thinking we directly just put the attributes into the model. Maybe it is it maybe this company cannot directly used by all the runtime components. So my question is, how can we build the model to really?
One comment.
Uh-huh.
I think SO can handle not only resource-facing services, but also customer-facing services. And in this case, in SDC, there is no definition whether a service is a customer-facing service or it's a resource-facing service. I think this definition is more logical than implemented in SDC. And you can also think of like network slice, it can be a customer-facing service if I'm providing it as a network slice as a service, or it can be used in some other customer-serving service. Like I have a gaming service which uses the EMBB network slice. So in this case, it's more like a resource-facing service, right?
So are you talking about maybe like a NAS use case that could be given to another operator or as a MVNO? Is that your thinking in that later category?
Yeah, that's actually in the first category. Like in the MVNO case, you can provide the network slice as a service, and this is a customer-facing service to the MVNO, to the consumer of the slice. But if you're providing a service by yourself, which is a customer service, like maybe video or maybe gaming or AR, VR or something, any type of service, and internally you use a network slice, then how do you consider this slice as a customer-facing service or as a resource-facing service?
If we try to put, because if we start to discuss customer facing and RSO services, it's a theoretical. But if we just take an example of, okay, a nested service. So if I have a service with a nested service,
mm-hmm.
Okay, if you define some properties, some of a composite service,
mm-hmm.
How this will be, if you want, mapped to
yes. Okay.
The comp to the nested to the properties
right.
of a
right.
nested service.
So currently in this release, in Dublin release, they are not automatically mapped. Okay, there is a plan to introduce to contribute this mapping in a Frankfurt release, okay? And actually the guys already started working on this. How it can be done meanwhile in Dublin release is using the operations, right? The operations have workflows. Like if I'm looking at the create operation, okay, I'm getting all these input parameters for the composite service, okay? And now in my workflow, which in this case is a BPMN, I am mapping, I need to instantiate the nested service, right? So in this workflow, I'm mapping the properties, the input properties to the input properties of the nested service. It's inconvenient. We identified this and we are introducing the model-driven mapping in this release.
So what do you do you have some idea to share about how you want to do this model-driven mapping, or is too early?
I think it's a bit too early. Maybe later in the release, I'll be able to share the mock-ups for how the UI will look. But there will be a mapping to the parameters. And that's one of more reason why I proposed to have some class, for, like data type for a property, so that we can add to this property the ability to map it to properties of other services.
So you're saying that the SDC operator can choose, can provide this mapping, can define this mapping between
yes, I'll be able to say that you see here I have input parameters on the service. Was it on this one or the other one? Okay, I have different properties. And for the child, I have also the different properties. Okay, and I can say that I would like this child property. Just a moment. Okay, let's say this latency. Okay, I want to declare it as input. And when I'm looking at the inputs of this composite service, okay, I have two latency. I have one latency here, and I have this latency which comes from the EMBB NSS, right? So in order not to provide this input twice, I will be able to say this latency is mapped to this latency. Okay.
So it's a direct one-to-one relationship. You can't make some attribute somehow be deriving it from a couple of sub-component attributes.
I think that maybe using policies you can do that, but I'm okay. Not familiar with policies, so I'm not sure. I can try to find someone who is familiar with policies and ask them.
Yeah, because NAB could be also interested to have the case that Kevin was saying is more wider than one attribute is mapped against a number of other.
And so I
was thinking then how can be provided at runtime this type of information. Are we going to update the descriptor? Are we going to provide an artifact?
Oh, first of all, if we distribute the CSAR, then all the information is available. The only question is how do we provide this to an external system? Like if we have some BSS system which wants to create some gaming service, right, and it needs to tell ONAP using external APIs, look, I want you to create a gaming service with these parameters. So how does this BSS external system knows what are the name of the parameters, right?
No, my buddy says, I was thinking the mapping. Let's assume that now you implement the mapping between... The mapping between these attributes.
Okay.
Between the composite service and then the nested service. So I think that this type of mapping could be useful also at runtime.
Of course, yes.
Okay, and so I was thinking how you will propagate this mapping, the information of how this mapping has been done at runtime, inside the service descriptor or as an artifact of a service descriptor.
I don't have a question for this now. I will ask the developing architect who is working on this. How it's planned to do. I assume it should be done in Tosca, but I need to check this.
Okay.
Hi, Borislav. I also have a question here. You mentioned that you planned to also implement the mapping between CFS and RSS in maybe Frankfurt. Do you want to use the same approach as you explained here, that you just have a mapping between these properties of the nested services with the composite service, or do you plan to have it implemented as maybe part of the external API?
From what I know, it's supposed to be implemented in the SDC, so it's not part of external API. It's part of the modeling here. How exactly it will be done, whether it will be a different screen or it will be something else, I'm not yet sure. The it's still the beginning of the work on this feature. So first we'll need to design it, and then we'll be able to present how it will work.
Will this be related to the policy? Yeah,
that's okay.
So will the matching relationship be related to the policies?
Sorry, what relation?
If we SDC going to do the mapping between the CFS to RFS, will this work related to the policies, or is it just some transaction internally SDC? Do you know that?
I think, well, I'm not sure 100%, okay? But I think it will be something, some definition in Tosca that will define a connection between properties.
Okay.
But I'm not not sure 100%.
Okay. I know. Okay, I understand. Because I'm asking, I'm thinking, will this also affect policy model? But from your from hearing, I think currently it won't affect the policy model. So I'm thinking then back to the model proposal. I think except for the configuration part, the rest of the model. I think this is a model that can be used to the runtime part. I can go into can I share my screen?
Yes, of course.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
So while she goes there, one quick thing you kind of highlighted there, Borislav. The selection criteria you demonstrated, so it's already been built into some development version of the model. And of course, the other thing we're talking about, just trying to separate what's there from what's new, though the whole how to handle input parameters cross nested services. You're highlighting, is that correct?
Oh, actually, the selection criteria which I shown is already part of Dublin, and everything here which I shown except for the bugs is part of Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, except for the bugs. I don't think there is something new here which is not part of Dublin.
Mm-hmm. So basically, there's things that are built in because they needed to be built in, even though we haven't formally approved the model yet.
No, I think the development of the different projects and the modeling work is orthogonal. I mean, there is a lot of features in SDC.
Sure. And
there is no model for them.
Sure.
And then, by the way, which is kind of was strange for me in the beginning, that the developers from the projects are not participating in the modeling. So whatever we decide here is not actually known in the projects, right?
Yep, that's a problem.
Okay.
So what I try to do with the outputs of this work is to try to talk with our product architects and developers and try to do the development to be consistent. Okay.
Right. In
most cases, it's backward engineering what we're doing.
Yep.
Okay, so back to the modeling part. I guess now the service profile is I don't care the name. Maybe we should change the name. It's more you know, a places that will handle all the attributes that has shown just in the SDC, and maybe this is the positioning of the service profile currently. And for the model, I think except for the configuration part, maybe need further discussion. For other function, I think it is aligned with the current requirements for the proposal. My thinking for this is if the configuration part, we need more discussion, we can move it from this proposal, and the rest of them, we can call them first. So what do you think? Do you have more questions or comments for this proposal now? If you don't have more comments, or we can bring this back next week, and during this week I will do some refine work, for example change the name here, and also go through the model top down again. And if no more further questions, we can call this proposal first without the configuration part. Okay. For me, from my side, I think one remaining question is for the service model number. You know, we have the one instance sharing number here. In my memory, we should also have an attribute that shows the max day number of the service can share. And I will my thinking is we can add an attribute here to show the max number. And I will do the change in the also refine model, and next week to show you again. So this is basically the for this proposal. I think the second topic prepared today is for the CDF, but we now have nearly run out of time. So Michaela, would you like to introduce the CDF next week?
Yes.
Okay.
Just a question. Lifecycle management script. Mm-hmm. Because I was thinking, in my understanding, Borislav, you are also allowing to create operations, right?
Yes.
Are these modeled here by the lifecycle management script, or I'm wrong, or not? So if now we have the possibility, we have the possibility to define attributes of a service, and we have also the possibility to define operations, so associate a workflow.
Right. So it's not related to the script. It's a separate concept in SDC, which I'm not sure how it is expressed in this model. So maybe we need to discuss this further, and maybe we need to add the operations in the service descriptor.
Are the operations associated with an attribute, with a class, or with either?
Operations are associated with the service, and they have you can define or standard operations, or you can define a custom operations, and right. You can assign properties to these operations, the properties which are defined as inputs.
Okay.
Because it's interesting, this part, because I would think that when we speak about the CDS, it's very similar. CDS is providing a blueprint. So at the end, it's like a set of operations.
So you are talking that we should add the operations into the lifecycle management script?
I don't know if it should be inside or not. To be honest, I don't remember the scope of a lifecycle management script.
Does the lifecycle management script equate to a BPMN process or some kind of model-driven design used by orchestration, or is it for just onboarding, or we don't know?
Okay.
Julie, do you remember if what was the scope of a lifecycle management script that is here in pink?
My memory for this attribute is first, this attribute comes from the active space, and it is used for when we doing a shared service. It may be related to some additional configurations for the VNF or PNF. Then we can use this attribute, and there has the lifecycle event configuration. Then we can inform the VNF and tell him to do the configurations.
I gotta drop. Anyway, thanks. It's a good discussion. Bye bye.
Yeah, maybe we can come back on this next week.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think currently the lifecycle part isn't very clear. We can bring back next week to discuss this. Maybe if needed, we can go back to do some homework for this and bring back next week. So any last comments? Okay. If not, I think we can close our meeting today. Thank you, Berislav. Thank you all for
sure, my pleasure. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.